Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, praise God, we're back again. And as always, it's so good to be with each and every one of you. Well, we're approaching the beautiful time of Pentecost. I hope you've been doing the novena. And if you haven't been doing the novena, I hope you're asking the Holy Spirit to fill you with power. You know, we're baptized into Christ. We have baptized into life, into Christ's life. And also through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are again brought in and born into His power. And if we ever needed power in this world, it's right now. So through the power of the Holy Spirit, I hope each and every one of us are asking the Holy Spirit to come, Lord. Come and fill us and kindle in our hearts the fire of your love so that we can go out and make a tremendous difference in the world. I have a wonderful guest on the air today. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, Father Fazio used to have his own radio station. Again, I do remember that. So he is the. He's going to be calling in at any moment, and I actually am trying to pull up the information on you to announce them, but my computer is stuck. It's going to be one of these days. At any rate, we're going to talk about one of the books. I read Matthew Bunsen's book on Pope Francis, and as I said, we'll have Father Joseph Fazio. He's a Jesuit, and he's going to be joining us today to talk about a book that Ignatius Press has put out and also published. And that is coming out of the Vatican, I believe. And so give us a call if you have questions after the interview. Let us know. Maybe you have questions you'd like to ask Father Fazio about in regards to this new wonderful Pope Francis. And you know, they've Ignatius Press, I mean, it does all the great authors, and one of the best books, many books by Ignatius Press published was on Pope Benedict. So we're looking forward to speaking to Father Fazio, and I hope you enjoy listening to him today. So once again, this is the day the Lord has made, and for you and I, it's a time to come together. It's a time to continue to walk on this journey that God has called each and every one of us to, the journey called life. And it is through bringing you these kinds of programs that we really hope that in some way that the Lord enlightens minds and hearts and understandings. So feel free, like I said, to give a call in. We do have Father Fezzio with us. He is the editor of Ignatius Press, and I think you're going to enjoy the program. I think it'll be a great program. So again, he is a Jesuit, and we're going to talk about the book he's going to announce to you is about Pope Francis as well. So once again, I'm expecting him on the air at any moment, and give us a call at 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or you can call toll-free anywhere else by dialing 1-888-343-2484. It's one of those days. Came rushing in here, and so if you have a question you would like to talk about, give us a call. 610-527-2906 or 1-888-343-2484. And I would remind you that this is going out live over the internet, and you can call from anywhere free of charge in the United States by dialing that 1-888-343-2484, or just dial the digits become 1-888-34-FAITH, F-A-I-T-H. All right. And, of course, you're listening to What the World Needs Now. It's Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. And, again, we're going to be interviewing Father Fezzio from Ignatius Press. And I believe he's on the line right now. We're just waiting to get him in here. And this book, I believe, is already, I believe it's out. And it talks about who is Jorge Bergoglio, you know, how he became Pope. And I think it ought to be, I think it's already out, if I'm not mistaken. I'm waiting for him to call in. He has not called in as yet. And when he does, we will put him on the line. There's a couple books out. Two of the books are out, are about Pope Francis, and one of them was by Matthew Bunsen, and I read that right before it was published, and it's an excellent, excellent book. And this book that I believe that he's going to talk about today is written by someone else, and like I said, he's an author that abides in Italy, and that's who we'll be talking about. I just got a note. They're trying to locate him. So once again, just remember that we will be talking to Father Fezzio in regards to this book on the beautiful humility of Jorge Bergoglio, our holy new Holy Father, Pope Francis. And if you have questions, like I said, I hope he'll take the time to take your questions, and we got to get them on the air. We're waiting for them. Maybe you have a question that you could jot down in the meantime while you're thinking about it. What kind of questions do you want to ask when he gets on the line? Okay, had a little bit of trouble here. Once again, today is a beautiful day. It's a a beautiful time to prepare our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. And while I'm waiting for Father to call back, I will also like to remind everybody that we are going to be having our healing retreat. And the healing retreat is about heal me, O God, that I will be healed. Save me, O Lord, and I will be saved. We're all in need of healing one way or another, every one of us. And for you and for I, God is the Holy Spirit, and He knows just the right place. He knows just what it is within us that needs healing. And sometimes we're not aware of it ourselves. And this is going to be an awesome healing retreat. Anybody that has met Father Steve DeLacy, awesome priest of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, beautiful gifts. And he will be ministering with me. He will be, of course, having Mass, confessions. We will be doing also with Amanda Deo and guest from the Ember. She will be blessing us once again with a voice like an angel as she does her concert for us. And the music will be supplied by her and the Embers through the entire weekend. And if you ever heard Amanda, she does sing like an angel. There will be a generational healing mass. Have you noticed things in your family? You know, generation after generation, the same things that take place over and over again, whether it's the scourge of alcohol or drugs or pornography or abuse or all these different areas. Well, we're going to do have a healing mass over this weekend, and we're asking you to bring all your pictures of your family members that you would like to place on the altar that are suffering with all these different things that have come down through the family lines for years and years and years, generation after generation. And of course, Jesus has freed us from all sin through his death and resurrection, but we still have the effects of those sins in our lives, and many of them are through generations. And so Father Steve DeLacy will be having a generational healing mass. We will have a healing service also Saturday night, which is absolutely beautiful. And then he'll also do the actual anointing of the sick for those who are very ill and in need of the anointing before they maybe have to have an operation or have a life-threatening disease or something in their life. So this is a time to come together in power and might. Also, you can't get any better than Malvern, magnificent grounds. People have been praying there for 100 years, and priests and lay people as well, religious. So it's holy, sacred ground. It's a beautiful facility. And even if you come with your, if mates come, husband and wives, it'll be like your own retreat really by yourselves, and however, because you'll room separately, but however, you will also be able to share at breakfast and lunch and dinner if you'd like to take walks on your free time, or together you'll be in the gatherings when we have Mass and the services. So please call Malvern and make your reservations, or you can go right online and make them right online. Again, malvernretreathouse.com. Put in Kathleen McCarthy's healing retreat or in his sign healing retreat and it'll pop right up. We have young people that are coming, and oftentimes they get a sense of what God's calling to do with their lives. We had two people in previous years that felt a calling to priesthood. And so that's an amazing gift. We have four witnesses that will speak about the power of what God has done in their lives when it seemed to be hopeless, when their families thought they were hopeless. Or one of them is a physical healing of cancer, and one is somebody that was completely delivered from alcohol after a life driven by it. And it's wonderful to see what the power of Almighty God at work. So this is a wonderful retreat. There will be a question and answer period. People seem to like that very much. And Father DeLacy and myself will answer any questions that or try to answer all your questions that you would have in regards to healing. So again, call Malvern, register, or call and just make up. You know, you could write it, you know, just write it in and send it in, but it's getting very late and I think they want a head count. So if you could call in or go online and register, that would be great. So whether it's for men, women, families, the children have to be over 16 years of age due to the content. And I think it'll be a powerful night. It always is a powerful weekend. So come on out and enjoy this healing retreat. Heal me, O God, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. May 31st through June 2nd. So it's the weekend after Memorial Day weekend. So it's a nice time to, before everybody goes on vacation, just to come together and to experience God's peace, the peace that the world cannot rob us of. To experience that power of the Holy Spirit that can heal us and deliver us, revive us and refresh us, and make all things new in our lives. So again, call Malvern Retreat House or go online and register online. Well, I guess I can't get a hold of Father Fazio, but we were going to interview him around the book of Andrea Tornielli. From Ignatius Press, he's the one that wrote the book, and it talks about who is Pope Francis. And, of course, we know he was elected in one of the shortest conclaves ever. And what he talks about the mind and the heart of this new pope, a new pope of the new world of the Americas. And so I find that quite interesting. The book just came out, and I know for a fact that it received a 5-star review, and it's about 200 pages long. So once again, Ignatius Press, it just came out, I think, in March, and I think when we get a hold of Father Fazio, he can tell you a lot more about it. Again, it's about Pope Francis. And he talks about the mind and the heart of this new pope of ours, this new pope of a new world. We sort of got a great idea and what we have seen with our own eyes, you know, what we have seen and what we have heard. It's been amazing the short time that he has been pope and the tremendous impact he has had on so many people's lives. I have a priest friend that was over there at the conclave, you know, when it was all going on. And he said the people, that whole week after, the people were in awe of him, in awe of his humility, in awe of his love for the Lord. They were, you know, just impacted greatly when they heard who was elected pope. He sort of did say, and it came about, they went to the ends of the earth, to the end of the world to find me, because, as you know, Argentina is the very southern part of the hemisphere. So, again, they really did go to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit brought him forth from the other side of the world, and we are so blessed that he's a pope of the Americas, as well as a pope of the universal church. So you tell me, what are some of the things that have touched your heart so much about Pope Francis? I know for me, and I shared this Monday night as I was speaking at St. David's in Wall Grove, when he walked through those doors and the wind, they pulled the curtain back, and he looked like he was stunned. I mean, he just was in... He just stood there. He didn't smile. He didn't wave his hands. He just looked. And I said Monday night to people that were gathered there when I spoke that I really believed that he was in awe himself, that he looked upon that square with the, you know, almost a million people there. And when he looked around, it must have hit him. Wow, all of this is going to be my responsibility. all of a sudden he must have realized the responsibility that's going to be on his shoulders, that he has been the Pope. And then when I fell in love with him the minute I saw him break that smile, and he said to the people of God, "Before I give you my papal blessing, I ask all of you, the people of God, to pray for me." And that was, I've never seen anything like that. There was total silence. And as I said, one of my priest friends was there, and he said, "You know, I've been there through many conclaves. It's amazing," he said to me, "that there was utter silence. A million people in that plaza." And he said, you could have heard a bird chirp. It was utter silence. That was the people of God praying for Pope Francis. And the things that I have read and the things that I have heard since then, to me, have really been really amazing. The tremendous sense of humility that he has. I love him. Of course, you talk about humility. Certainly Benedict XVI, our Holy Father Emeritus, who has called us to this year of faith to begin with. And I think the Holy Spirit laid more on his heart, his mind, and his spirit than we have any idea about, because it took great courage to step down and know that the Holy Spirit was calling him to surrender his pontificate, because God was bringing forth a new Pope that would hopefully have the stamina and everything that the Lord wanted to use at this time, in this particular part of time in the world. And so I admire Benedict XVI so much. I mean, he's a humble man. And like I said, arguably brilliant. Arguably one of the most brilliant minds in our centuries. So I didn't want to take anything away from him, but I think the Holy Spirit brought Francis to us in a time that we were in such desperate need for truth, when we were in desperate need to hear a clean, clear, clearly articulated message about what our church teaches. And he walked into he walked into a full plate, let me just say that. But he seems to have been handling it with dignity and with humor and with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. So once again, we just want to praise and thank God for Pope Francis. And, the way he talks about this new evangelization really sets my heart on fire. And I don't think, I think it's a real God instance that here he is, his new pontificate in this new year of faith. He was brought in right at the Easter, Easter time. He was able to celebrate the beautiful gift of Easter with the Universal Church. And then here he is preparing for Pentecost. What a tremendous feast that is in the church. The birthday of the church. And as the birthday of the church, we have a new pontificate. And it's, if you see what the Lord is doing and really look at it, it's amazing grace indeed. So once again, I apologize. I don't know where, I just got a note, they're trying to locate him and find him. So I guess something must have come up with Father Fezzio. And of course, as we know, he is the editor of Ignatius Press, and we were going to talk about the book that Andrea Tornielli wrote on Francis, Pope of a New World. So if he calls in, we'll certainly take care of that. I want to give out our numbers again so that when he does call in, you'll have the number ready, and hopefully you'll jot down a question that maybe you would like to know about. And the number is 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or you can call anywhere else, toll-free in the United States by dialing 1-888-34 and the word faith, or 1-888-343-2484. Now we have a caller on the line. It might be him. So we're just going to wait and see what God has in store here. You never know what live radio, do you? You just don't know. Okay, I believe that is him. Yep. And again, no, it isn't. 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906 or 1-888-343-2484. We have a caller on the line. Lisa. Hello? Hi.
Hi. My name is Lisa. I met you once. And while you're waiting for the priest to call in, I just wanted to tell you, I never got a chance to call and let you know that when you told your story about walking your brother home from school and somehow he got lost and you got home and your mom asked, "Where's your brother?"
Yeah.
And you made us think of all of who our brother in Christ is.
Right.
I had just had a bad argument with my husband, and he had been so mean that I just left the house and started driving. And after you said that story, it just touched my heart, and I just turned around. I went home, and I cooked him dinner, and I told him I was sorry, even though it wasn't my fault.
That's a real tough.
You and, you know, your story. I just wanted to let you know because, I don't know, I wasn't even going to come home.
I'm going to tell you something, Lisa. These are some of the things. This is what's so important about Catholic radio, in my own opinion, that you know, you're talking to people, and you don't have a live audience. So hopefully, you're touching the hearts of people, and you don't know what's going on in their lives. They might be in a car. They might be preparing dinner at home. They might be listening on the computer. But the power of Catholic radio is that it can touch the hearts of the listeners in ways that we have no idea. And because the freedom of the person being in their own car, their own home, sitting in front of their own desk, maybe on a computer. And so they're free. They hear that word, and then they're free to respond to it without worrying about what will this person think, what will that person think. And here, the word of God went forth, and it gently convicted you, never condemns, convicted you in the spirit. And what did you do? You turn around. And isn't that what we're all called to do, Lisa? Me, you, everybody, we're called to turn around, to veer from the ways that would take us from God, to turn back to God. And so that was for you a great moment of grace. And for me, it's a great moment of grace to hear you talk about it, Lisa. So thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much. And it was beautiful when I actually met you one time. I was with my friend Pat, and a lot of nice, wonderful lists led me to you. And I just want to thank you so much.
Oh, God bless you. What area are you from?
God bless you, too. I'm actually Holland, and maybe you could say a prayer for me tonight. I'm going to be, I've been going to Life in the Spirit seminars,
oh, yeah.
And it's our night to be baptized in the Spirit.
Awesome.
And it's going to be a beautiful night.
And what's the name of your parish?
What I'm going to is St. Albert the Great.
Oh, but yeah.
Go
yep.
to St. Pete.
Yep. I know exactly what it is. Right there in Huntington Valley, isn't it?
Right.
Well, let's just say a prayer right now. Lord, we're preparing for Pentecost, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would fall upon everyone who has stepped out in faith to open their heart and their mind and their spirit to the infilling of the Holy Spirit in their own lives. They've been baptized, Lord, and as I said when I opened the program, they've been baptized into you, Lord, into Christ, into life. And now they're going to be baptized into your power because they are releasing the power within them that they received at baptism, the power that's maybe been lying dormant for a long time. So, Lord, fill each and every one who said, "Yes, Lord, Fill them, empower them, send them forth. Let them be your voice out in the world that needs to hear the truth. Let them take their bodies to be the body of Christ out there in the world that is in desperate need of truth. Let them be your hands and your feet and your voice. And Lord, one of my best quotes, St. Catherine of Siena, if we are what we're called to be, we will set the whole world on fire. So go light a fire, dear.
Kathleen, that was beautiful. God bless you. Thank you.
All right, bye. Bye-bye. Give my love to everybody there. I know them all.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's see. Well, I guess we're going to take a, maybe not take a little break. He's going to try to get him one more time. Once again, we are waiting for Father Fazio. He is the with the Ignatius Press, and we're looking to hear from him. We're going to talk about the book that Andrea Tornielli wrote about who is Pope Francis, and we're going to talk about Pope Francis. The Pope of a New World. So once again, you are listening to What the World Needs Now. What the world needs now is you and I to use those gifts to build up the kingdom of God. Each and every one of them, each and every one of us have a mission. We're called to be missionaries. We are called to be missionaries on Pope Paul VI encyclical Evangelization in the Modern World. We are called to go out and to be the messengers of Christ, to be his hands and his feet and his voice out there that is in desperate need. Father Fazio, how are you? Father?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Very good, thank you. As I was talking earlier, we're blessed. We know that. Didn't you used to have your own radio show, Father? Many.
Pardon me? Didn't say it again?
Didn't you at one time? I thought I remember listening to you on the air. Didn't you at one?
Well, I'm on a lot, but I don't have my own show.
Oh, we got to remedy that.
Catholic Answers or Relevant Radio sometimes and other things.
Uh-huh. Well, we're blessed to have you with us today, and we're very grateful for Ignatius Press. You're the editor there, and we're just trying to move along pretty quickly this time. I have given out our phone numbers if somebody would like to talk about, ask you a question about the book, and you published Andrea Tornielli?
Tornielli, yes. We did his book. On Francis, the Pope of the New World, yes.
Yeah, and that book has been released, has it not?
It was released a week, maybe 10 days after the Pope was elected, yes.
Okay, I remember, I did read Matthew Brunson's book on the Pope as well. And
yes, that's our Sunday Vision. That's a good book, too.
It is a good book, too. So tell us a little bit... Father Fazio, tell us a little bit about your work with Ignatius Press, which is quite impressive. And because we're getting this interview started late, I wanted to jump right into it, and I'll give your tell everybody a little bit more about you as the program goes on. But for this new book, you know, it's almost about rebuilding the church, following out St. Francis's call that the Spirit of God gave him, you know, to rebuild the church.
So I mean, certainly when you look at all the difficulties the church has passed through the last few decades, with the sexual abuse crisis in the United States and elsewhere, and the crisis of faith and the liturgical confusion, I mean, we've had some extraordinary popes.
Yeah.
And I think this is just a sequence of three popes, which is outstanding, because John Paul II was, of course, a highly popular pope, a wonderful writer and a preacher and a you know, great friend of young people, especially with the World Youth Day. Yeah. And he established a body of very sound Catholic doctrine for our time. Then comes Benedict the 16th, who's also a great scholar and theologian,
yeah,
and carried on that tradition of teaching and of preaching and of making God's word intelligible and understandable to people. And again, he added not only his encyclicals but his previous writings. We have, I think, 60 of his books in print. And now we have a pope who is directly pastoral. He's from a country that, with a lot of poor in it. He does not need, and we do not need to have more writings from popes. We have enough for a while.
Yeah.
But I think to implement what those popes have written and the chart, the course they've charted out, is what we need. And I think Francis is perfect for that.
Yeah.
So really, we're blessed as Catholics to have three great popes in a row.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. One of the things I think that everybody, and I'm sure you would agree with this, one of the things I think that everybody agrees on is the tremendous gift that we see in this pope, the so Christ-like in his humility. And of course, Benedict, I think we lose that sight sometime, also had a tremendous gift of a pure heart and humility, and he was brilliant. Probably, arguably, one of the most brilliant minds, and yet he continued to write and to talk to the hearts of the people and connect very well. But with this, our new Holy Father, Francis, not only in the choosing of his name, I think everybody thought when, in the beginning, that he chose St. Francis of Xavier, you're a Jesuit, and him being a Jesuit. But we were very much surprised that it was St. Francis of Assisi, who loved the poor and really tried to rebuild the church from within the church. And what do you think about that?
I agree with that, but also, he's a Jesuit and I'm a Jesuit. And, Jesuits generally are pretty crafty.
Yeah.
And there's another important Francis, St. Francis, for Jesuits, St. Francis Borgia.
Yes.
He was a general of the Jesuits shortly after Ignatius of Loyola, who founded the Jesuits. And, of course, he came from the family that gave us all those bad popes, the Borgia popes. But he was a great administrator. And I one of the tasks which the cardinals really wanted to give the new pope when they discussed, before the election, the qualities they wanted someone who would help reform the bureaucracy of the church, especially the Roman Curia, and they expected that Francis was going to do that. So he says, and I think he's telling the truth, that he took the name after St. Francis of Assisi. But I also think Francis Xavier, as you mentioned, is there as a subtext. But in addition to that, I think St. Francis Borgia is there too.
Yeah. And didn't he head up the order himself at one time? When he was,
He was provincial down in Argentina from 1973 to 1979, that was.
Right.
So he was the major superior in charge of that province, which I think included both Argentina and Uruguay.
For you, Father Fezzio, being a Jesuit, I mean, your heart had to rejoice. I mean, we always rejoice we have a new pope, of course. But being a Jesuit and a fellow brother, being elected to pope, to lead the universal church, it had to be an extra special blessing for all the Jesuits around the world.
Kathleen, he was not elected because he was a Jesuit, but because of the person he was.
Right.
And I'm happy because of who he is. In addition, the fact that he's a Jesuit, and not just a Jesuit, because there's all kinds of Jesuits, but he's a very solid and good and traditional Jesuit, and I think he really represents the best of our order. And so that's a great blessing to have someone elected as Pope who is a Jesuit who embodies the ideals of St. Ignatius.
Yeah. And what do you see, from the things you have seen, the things you have read about this this beautiful, such a humble servant? I loved the fact when he came out there and he looked around. He was almost awestruck himself to realize what had just happened to him.
I said to myself, say something.
Me too.
He just kind of stood there looking like he was awestruck,
yeah.
I should say.
And I think he realized all of a sudden the awesome responsibility. All of a sudden, he probably hit him wow, no wonder he looked awestruck.
Yes.
This is, I'm the new pope, and I'm going to lead the universal church by following Jesus and being open to the Spirit of God. Yeah. And wasn't it awesome when he said, before I give you my pontifical blessing, I ask you to pray for me?
Yes.
It was an amazing moment.
And also, a very important distinction, he did not say, before I bless you, I want you to bless me.
Right.
He said, before I bless you, I want you to pray to God to bless
yes,
me.
Yes, exactly right. You know? Yeah, and I Correct. Thought that was perfect. He knew. He needed those prayers. He realized when he walked out there almost awestruck that before he did anything, he asked for the people of God to pray for him. And I thought that said more than probably a million words.
And again, typical Jesuit shrewdness, he led everybody in the Our Father, Hail Mary and Glory Be.
Yeah.
So a lot of people in that piazza and on television, they're not even Catholics, and they don't pray those prayers, but he led the whole world in those prayers.
Yeah, I thought that was neat.
He got atheists to pray the Our Father when he did that. It was pretty good.
Yeah, you can say that again. And, you know, I thought also, too, that how quickly, you know, his through the conclave, it was a, you know, a sure conclave, and the Holy Spirit raised him up rather quickly. Now, we know the Holy Spirit had him picked out all the time, but was it the shortest conclave?
Not the shortest, but it was one of the shortest. Yeah, I think Pius XII was even shorter.
Okay.
And there may have been some shorter in previous centuries. I don't know about that. Yeah. I'm not a historian.
But the first pope from the Americas, I thought that was...
That's right.
Yeah. I loved it when he said, they went to the end of the world to find me.
Yes. Yeah. It was a sense of humor, too.
Yeah. And I like the fact that, you know, he believes so much in the freedom of the people and liberation, but he doesn't believe in liberation theology.
That's a great thing, is that he obviously wants to serve the poor and help the poor.
Yeah.
But he does not want to use Marxist or revolutionary tactics. He wants to use the church's own methods, you know, of touching hearts and pastoral approaches to things, you know. So, no, I think we're really blessed.
Yeah.
Although I think you were about to ask earlier, you know, what I expect from this pope. And, you know, Kathleen, to me, the most important thing a pope does is appoint bishops, because no matter how good the pope is, that can encourage you, can encourage me and other people, but what happens in the seminaries, what happens in the parishes, what happens in the dioceses, that depends on the bishop.
Absolutely.
And it started under John Paul II. We started getting better appointments, but they were kind of mixed. Under Benedict, they got better still.
Yeah.
And then 3 years ago, I think it was 3 years ago, he appointed a very fine cardinal Marc Ouellette from Quebec, as the prefect for the Congregation of Bishops. And that's the congregation that actually reviews all the dossiers and discusses them and then presents to the Pope their conclusions, and the Pope usually just kind of ratifies that. So that, to me, is one of the most important positions in the Church. And Cardinal Ouellette is not only outstanding, five stars, you know, but he also is a very close friend of the Pope Francis. Although Cardinal Ouellette was their prefect before Pope Francis was elected, they are very good friends. And that's a great relationship.
And I liked how, I mean, right off the bat, he jumped in with both feet. He didn't waste a lot of time, and he got right to work. And he knew the work that that they all thought that he could accomplish in regards to his administrative gifts and the challenges in regards to the Curia that were there. And he jumped right in by appointing that... you know, the bishops to take a good look at it, and they gave him a time to get back to him for him to review their reports. I thought that was really done very
That's
quickly.
That's right. No, that was excellent. Also, I'm here on the West Coast, you know, or the left coast, as some people call it, but we just got a new bishop appointment in Oakland, right across from San Francisco, Father Michael Barber, S.J. So it's the first Jesuit bishop appointed by this new Jesuit pope. But Father Barber is a friend of mine from way back, and he's a Marine chaplain, okay? And he's a Marine in mentality.
Right.
So it's just an outstanding great appointment by this new pope. And so we have what I call, Kathleen, you may not know what this is, but the West Coast offense. Back in the 80s, the San Francisco 49ers, a football team here, developed this offense, which was very successful. They won 5 Super Bowls, called the West Coast offense.
I know exactly.
And it was basically running plays and short pass plays and moving up the field consistently. No big flashy plays, but just consistency, you know, scoring, and they did well. Well, I think we now have an ecclesiastical West Coast offense because we just had Archbishop Sample appointed in Portland,
yeah.
Archbishop Corleone in San Francisco, Archbishop Gomez in Los Angeles, Vasha in Santa Rosa, Van in Orange, I mean, and up Sartain up in Seattle. We just have the whole West Coast is a string of good, solid, Catholic, courageous bishops.
Mm.
And we're going to have that for generations. I won't live to see all the fruit of it, but you know, after living through a lot of confusion in the church and bishops who I thought were not, you know, fully committed to taking stands on controversial issues, now we have our best priests being made bishops, and that is going to affect the church for at least 2 decades. And one way it will affect the church immediately is the seminaries will be improved, and that means young priests will be better.
Mm.
So, and it's happening on the East Coast too, and it's happening in the Midwest. So, I'm just really, Kathleen, we don't know each other, but people who know me know that I've been kind of a skeptic and pretty cynical the last 20, 30 years about what's going on in the church.
Well, I'm right with you. I'm lockstep with you.
I mean, I've lived through the decline, through the confusion, you know, through the insanity.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, I am, you know, I'm just so delighted to see all the growth and all the strength coming into the church. And we're going to need it because with this present administration, many of our governors, many of our senators and congressmen who are pro-abortion, who believe that two men can get married, two women can get married, I mean, we need witnesses. You know, we need around the country. And that's, by the way, that's one reason Catholic Radio is important, which has grown enormously in the last 15 years.
Yes, it has. I'm going to have to, you're speaking my words, just the message I said last week. So I'm going to have you back on because you speak truth and you articulate it clearly. I'd love to come out there sometime. That Christa Rae at Carmelite Monastery, I'd love to come there. I would, if I get a speaking engagement out in the San Francisco area, that's the first place I'm going to head to.
Give us a bit. I was just there last week because a dear friend, Mother Mary Joseph, died at age 100.
Oh, God bless her.
And she had on, in the wall of her cell, she had pictures of what she called her gang, people she prayed for. Osama bin Laden, Barack Obama, Hugo Chavez, Fidel Castro. She took every, you know, criminal on the planet and was praying for him.
You know, Father, I can tell you this. The other day when the verdict came down for that Kermit Gosnell trial, I said I was so glad to see what a world so often we call evil good and good evil, that people had a sound mind to come out and call evil evil. But I said, pray for his soul now. Pray for his soul, that he would have repentance. So I couldn't agree more. And that's beautiful, 100 years young, and God called her to his own sacred heart.
Yep.
Well, let me ask you this. Aside, obviously, we need prayers for our Holy Father. I think there's going to be a tremendous persecution. We're seeing it now already with our religious rights trying to be trampled upon and so forth, that we need people to really be witnesses, to really stand up and make a clear stand on who you are as a Catholic. There's been so much confusion that I think Catholics have drifted away. And I think once that clear message is articulated again, what the teaching magisterium, the Holy Father, what they really teach, and this is it. And if you veer, you know, if you live a life contrary to that, then you're Catholic in name only. And I think that has to be stated clearly.
I think you're right. But I think what you're doing, what Ignatius Press is doing, what so many others are doing, this is all part of the all part of the offensive we have to take, you know. Can't be playing defense all the time. We've got to be on offense here.
That's right.
Going out into the world and praying for these people because, you know, they're misguided. You think of all these homosexuals. It's sad. I don't feel angry about them. I feel sad that they're being convinced and convincing themselves that this lifestyle is going to be satisfying to them, and especially this lifestyle will, you know, give them what they really want. What we want is heaven.
That's
and you're not going to get to heaven by violently and, you know, so strongly contradicting God's plan.
That's right. Hey, I think I'm going to send you a little note, a little letter. I'm thoroughly enjoying this interview. Got to it a little late today, but I'd like to have you on more often. And you speak from the heart. I love that. And you certainly have all the credentials that anybody could ask for as a theologian. So I'm blessed that you would take the time, again, as I said, to be with us today. And if there's one thing you'd like to leave, not just one thing, but what are some of the things that you would like to leave with our family of listeners today in regards particularly?
Well, Kathleen, let me tell you, I believe I'm doing what God called me to by working with a group of people here in San Francisco to produce good Catholic books. Mm-hmm. And the one word I leave is we try and produce books which we think are solid, beautiful, good, inspiring Catholic books. And so if you haven't heard of Ignatius Press, go to our website, Ignatius.com. Check things out. We've got all kinds of books, deep theological books, popular books, good novels. We've got some fantastic Catholic novels. I mean, there's a revival going on in Catholic literature.
Yes,
and
sir,
I'm proud to say that Ignatius Press is right at the center of it. So my word is to people is please look to Ignatius Press when you want to get spiritual nourishment.
Amen. And in regards to this book that was written, did it give you new insights, things that you really, you know, even though you knew a lot about Pope Francis, I'm sure when he was, you know, when he walked as a priest and a bishop and an archbishop and so forth and a cardinal, but did you get some new insights into this new book that was written?
Oh, yeah, because I didn't know much about his previous life. And one thing this book does very, very well, because Andrea Tornielli is a great Italian Vatican observer, respected as probably the most competent of them all. But first he gives you an understanding of what the conclave was like, what led to the conclave, how it took place, and then it gives you a biography of Pope Francis, of, you know, his life as a, you know, young man and in his family, and then as a young boy, and his vocation, becoming a Jesuit, then becoming a bishop and an archbishop. So it's kind of a sketch of that. And then it goes into detail on his first week of being a pope and what the significance of that will be for his papacy. So, you know, the immediate enthusiasm after the election has kind of died down a bit, but I still think this is sort of a an ideal book to get an overview of just who this pope is and how he got elected.
Yeah, absolutely. We're coming to your neck of the woods. Well, we're going to have the Second World Congress for the Sacred Heart of Jesus for the enthronement in Orange County this year. Not this year, 14. So,
okay. We'll stop by and pay us a visit.
I will indeed. And please pray for all Catholic radio and that we could use the media to proclaim the truth and be a voice, especially for those who have no voice.
Will do, Kathleen.
How about your official blessing of the church before you leave us?
Sure. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos et manet et semper.
Thank you, Father. May God
Amen.
Bless you and as you continue to build up the kingdom. God bless. Bye-bye. Well, my brothers and sisters, it was sort of rushed because we didn't get them till the last minute. But once again, I rejoice in the fact that he was able to come on. I want to remind everybody, I will be at, this is for all women, all over. It's a night that they're just going to take up a love offering, I believe. But it is all women, bring a mother, bring your sister, bring your grandmother, bring your aunt, bring your daughter. It is a night for to celebrate women. It is at St. Thomas the Apostle. That is in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania, and I will be speaking there. It starts at 6:30 in the evening, and I think we're all in for a big treat, because anytime we gather together, the Holy Spirit is truly present. So again, it is St. Thomas the Apostle in Glen Mills this Monday night, this Monday coming, and it is for all women. So bring your sister, your daughter, your mother, your grandmother, as we gather together 6:30 in the evening, and there will be refreshments there, and then I will speak at 7 o'clock. So once again, please pray for me that I would decrease and Christ would increase within me, and that his message would come forth, because if I proclaim any other message than his, then you're going to hear nothing but noise. So that I would decrease and he would increase within me. We're going to close the way we always do with prayer, and I want to once again thank Father Fezzio. Apparently we had a little hard time getting in touch with him, but it was quite interesting, quite interesting. And, you know, listening to Father, he shared some of the things as being a priest that he struggled with, that many of us have struggled with in these past, you know, couple of decades. So, and in particularly these past 25 years. So I can only say that my heart rejoices that we could have him on today. And I look for more visits from him. Once again, please sign up. This is our fundraiser for coming up, and for Malvern Retreat House, and anything that you could do to pass the word along, maybe I would deeply appreciate it. All of us are in need of healing, and once again, all you have to do is go to malvernretreat.com, click on make your reservations. Let's just go into prayer. Let's pray especially for all those people who are hurting, people whose hearts and minds are troubled. Maybe people that are so heavily burdened and they're tired. They're tired and they need to be revived. They need the breath of the Spirit to come upon them and that ruah to fill them with the Spirit of God, so then by grace they walk the journey called life. So, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Spirit that is love between you and the Son, that unites us with you. So, Lord Jesus, I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all those who are going through life in the Spirit, and all those who are laboring and find life tiring. Revive them and renew them in mind, in body, and spirit, and fill them with every grace and every blessing, so that they too can go out into the world and be a witness that Jesus Christ is alive and living. And remember that you can't separate the Son and the Mother through Jesus Christ is the Son of God and God. He took his flesh from his mother. So sort of we're related to him on his mother's side, as I've often heard. And please, 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 please pray for our Holy Father, all the priests, all the religious, and all those who preach and teach the truth of our one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. If you're away from the church, come on home. We're not complete without you. Until we meet again, may God hold you close to his sacred heart through the Immaculate Heart of his Holy Mother Mary. God bless you.